Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we can be together again as I want to share what I feel is a very exciting, very wonderful subject of the message that God has given me to share, not just this week, but I know we're going to be going at further length. And if this is the first time you're joining us, I pray that you will be blessed. We're looking at one scripture, the words of Jesus found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. And yesterday I was just laying a foundation, and so we're glad you joined us and pray that you will be led of the Lord to hear the words that God is speaking to us in this hour. And the actual scripture that we're going to be looking at, and it is a ponderous subject, one that took me aback as I was a new Christian years ago back in the 70s, and I really hadn't read the Bible. And when I came across this passage in Matthew 5:48, I just stopped cold. Jesus said, and this is in terms of context, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And just before that, he was talking about love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, that you will be children of your Father who is in heaven, who makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And he said, if you just love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And so he was calling for a standard of actions, of behavior, and of heart condition that was something new. We know that God chose Israel out of all the nations of the earth, the smallest nation, to share his glory with them, to be present with them, to subdue their enemies, to use them to really preach the message of the living God throughout the earth. Well, of course, you know, God knew human nature, and while they declared on numerous occasions, "Oh, this is the Lord, we will follow him," of course, without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, they really couldn't do that, and that was the purpose of the Old Covenant. I tend to simplify things, beloved, so if you want some profound theological dissertation, it's probably the UCM broadcast is not the place for it. So for everyone's sake, for my sake, I like to keep things simple and basic. Okay, so God spoke to Moses, and he says, come on up into the Mount Sinai. The people were gathered around the base of the mountain. In fact, even at one point, 70 of the elders came in Joshua, and they saw the God of heaven and did eat and drink in his presence. But God then called Moses up for 40 days and 40 nights, and he spent time with the Lord, and the Old Covenant was given. And as we know, if you know your Bible, the Old Covenant was given to show that man in his natural state simply could not fulfill the law. And that's why they had the Day of Atonement. They had sacrifices to cover or atone for their sin, because their basic heart condition was not changed. Their spiritual condition was not changed. And so when, in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus, born of a virgin, he ushered in the new covenant. He didn't do away with it. He said he fulfilled it because he was perfect and without sin. He was able to be the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, which none of us, we could surely have died for our own sins, but that would not, we were not a perfect sacrifice. And oh, there's so many foreshadowings in the Old Testament about Jesus. It was all about Jesus, even then. So the statutes of the Old Covenant were found in the Ten Commandments, and no one has been able to improve on that. Our Constitution is based on the Ten Commandments. Western civilization basically is based on the moral law, in a general sense, contained under the Old Covenant. But Jesus came to usher in a new covenant. And what are the commands? What are its statutes? Well, they are the commands of God as found in the words of Jesus. And as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's the 5th chapter to the 7th, we hear Jesus presenting things in a new way. He covered aspects of the Christian life, such as inward purity, the sacredness of marriage, the importance of oaths, of service, love, instructions concerning prayer and fasting. And he gave us basically a new covenant that, in fact, just before his death, he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And perhaps there's, as you look at the Word of God, and I began meditating on this, perhaps there's no other single commandment of Jesus as comprehensive or so embodies the fullness, the scope, and the possibilities of the new covenant of salvation by grace as the one commandment that Jesus gave us in Matthew 5:48. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Now, beloved, what's your response to that? Think about it. When you hear that, what is your reaction? I know it almost took my breath away. It's like, be perfect. Well, if our heart is honest, there's one thing that we can be fully convinced of and convicted of is our lack of perfection. You know, yet Jesus said this. What are we going to do with this? And I believe if we could follow just this one commandment of Jesus, well, every other commandment he's given us concerning the Christian walk would automatically fall into place. And as I said, what's your response to that? I don't know about you, but I thought, that's impossible. I know I'm not perfect. There's no way. How can I be perfect? And in our own strength and our own ability, it truly is. Jesus, first, he gives us a conundrum. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven. And yet there's a promise, beautiful promise in the Word of God in Psalms, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth thee. So what are we going to do with this? You know, and it's a good thing to feel, and I'm not going to leave you there, but to feel that your total inability, that's an aspect of repentance, beloved, realizing that you're absolutely unworthy, that there's no good thing, as Paul said, that dwells in our human flesh. This is an impossible order and commandment in the natural, impossible for us to fulfill. And I believe, as I said, this is a very important aspect of repentance, realizing that it is impossible for us to accomplish this. And it is only through the supernatural empowering of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God, that we can achieve that high calling that God has called us to. That beautiful song, perhaps the most well-beloved and familiar song of the ages, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Are you convinced of that? You need to be convinced of it. "I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." And once we can come to that place, it's like the prodigal son who realized he came to himself. What beautiful words. He finally saw himself in his true state, his true condition, realizing that even his father's servants were better off than he was. He wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. He had fallen into such degradation, into such a perverse way of living. But thank God he came to himself. And beloved, that's the work of the grace of God. And aren't you glad if you have been saved, that that work of grace was done in your life? You may have rejected the gospel for extended periods of time, but finally one day it began to make sense. I remember I was, you know, a hippie redeemed out of the 60s, and I wanted nothing to do with religion. I'd never be in a church again, I declared. And I went to a home meeting. God was beginning to draw on my heart. And if I could have gotten out of there, I would have. But just my training as a child, I knew I couldn't walk. I didn't want to do that. And all of a sudden, this hellfire and brimstone preacher started preaching differently, or else I began to hear it differently. And God, that night, began to touch my heart. Did I get saved then? Nope. Now it's a very private, personal experience, but I was hooked. And God got a hold of me, just as I'm sure he got a hold of you if you've given your heart to Jesus. And if you haven't yet, oh, the Holy Spirit, it's not by accident you're listening. He's drawing you with cords of love. He's drawing you with a hunger to experience something you've never experienced before in your life, that there can be a peace and an understanding and a place of absolute understanding of truth that you've never had. That's what brought me to Christ. I mean, as a 16-year-old girl, I remember the moment, I remember the time. I was not in prayer. I was not really very godly at the time, but I knew that the pursuit of truth was my first life's goal. And those that will seek after truth, you will find it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So, if you haven't committed to Christ, I invite you to follow that yearning, that longing. And it's just a simple matter of saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I haven't worked out. I don't have the answers, but I'm willing to turn to you for answers. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I believe you died and rose from the grave and are going to teach me and lead me in a path that I've never walked on before. I'm ready, Jesus. Save me. It's just that simple. It's a heart transaction. And beloved, even if you've walked with the Lord for years, that's what God's wanting, a deeper heart relationship than you and I have never known. Praise God. Well, I mean, I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. You have not plumbed the depths of the love of Christ, the height, the breadth, the depth. we won't until we're with him. But until then, let's keep pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.